For a turned on campus, turned on radio. WVUM, the voice of the University of Miami in Coral Gables.
I'm Shelley Lynn. This is Not For Profit. Today's guest is Dr. Corelia Carbonell, president of HPACG, which stands for Historic Preservation Association of Coral Gables. Dr. Corelia is a certified fundraising executive with a passion for nonprofit work. The association, a nonprofit corporation founded in 1991, is dedicated to the preservation, restoration, and use of historic properties in Coral Gables. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me, Shelley.
You have a background in volunteer work. You started out as a young mother volunteering at your son's elementary school. How did that go to historic preservation? I'm kind of losing the connection.
Well, it's been a windy road. I did volunteer. As we usually do, we start out volunteering, and I was finishing up my MBA and didn't really know what area to really go into. And I do have to mention that at that time I was at the Junior League of Miami, and which is a wonderful organization for women. And so I was there really thinking through what I want to do professionally. And one of my league members, friends, mentioned development, mentioned fundraising as a career. And that's really where it all started. I then began my professional career in fundraising. I've been a fundraiser for over 20 years. Now I'm a consultant. But as far as then preservation, it really has evolved, I think, as I've evolved and as I've become more aware of how important our cultural patrimony is and how important it is to really save our history. And one of our mottos is history repeats itself, please help preserve it. And that's really, what it's all about. I'm also one of my best person that I always refer to is Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy, and Kennedy Onassis, and she really was a preservationist at heart, and really took New York City by storm. Saved Grand Central Station, and not that we're doing all that big work here in the city of Coral Gables, but she is a person that I always think of, and she didn't give up. So that's my story.
How many years have you been working for historic preservation?
I'm a volunteer at the organization. I've been involved not too long. It's about 2 years, but I quickly took on the presidency, the leadership, because the organization needed someone with my background as far as a fundraiser, a development person. The organization was founded in 1991, was very active in the beginning. It was formed by owners of historic homes in Coral Gables who wanted to not only advocate for preservation, but also get together and trade craft and referrals and that type of thing. And that's how it formed. But as the years went on, the organization, needed another focus, and preservation is once again in the forefront. And we're lucky enough that we're in the city of Coral Gables, where preservation is a daily type of thing. We have one of the cities with as many landmarks as I don't know how many, but we are a city of landmarks. So I've been involved for about 2 years. And this is my first year as president. So, the important mission is to make our citizens aware that we're around.
I would imagine that it's hard to get people on board with this. Is it?
It is. It is. And that's why thank you for having me here.
Well, no, that wasn't
a little plug. But yes, thank you. Because people.
I wasn't asking for a compliment there.
Absolutely. But you deserve it. people, you know, preservation, you know, some people get it and some people don't. And it's about education.
So what does it mean, though? Historic preservation. What are we talking about when we say we're preserving history here in Coral Gables?
What the city was founded in 1925. George Merrick founded the city. But always, you know, George Merrick was really a long-term thinker, and he built the city to last. It wasn't a fly-by-night type of thing. And so we're lucky enough that we have many buildings, many landmarked designated buildings in the city. And people don't understand, and you're right, those key words. Back in the 1980s, early 1980s, the city, we didn't have a designation, a historic designation status on any of the buildings. So unfortunately, we lost many, many buildings, beautiful, beautiful art, you know, buildings that are, you know, considered art, I think now, if you, you know, if we had them built in the 20s and the early 30s. And we lost them because of development, because they weren't protected. And in the early 1980s, the city did create a designation code. So now, fortunately, most of our landmarks are designated historic, meaning that they can't be touched, they can't be taken down. They need to be maintained, and they need to be restored in a way that keeps up with their status. But we won't lose them. Now, if they're not historic, if they're not designated historic, then there is then a possibility that a developer will come in and unfortunately tear them down. And so that's where we as an organization, we want to make sure that people understand that there are tax benefits to preserve some of your home, for instance.
Could you give me some examples of historic landmarks in Coral Gables?
Well, our main historic landmark is our City Hall. Our City Hall was, I don't have the exact year, but it was 1925-26. It's going to celebrate a 90th birthday. And it was designed by, I believe it was, let me get my notes, but just to make sure, it was designed in the early 1920s by Denman Fink, who was the City Hall's artistic advisor, and it was designated a City Historic Landmark site in 1981. And now it's included in the City Historic Landmark inventory. So that's like our landmark, where you know, right. you drive around and you see it, and it's going to be preserved there for forever.
How many years have to elapse before something is considered historic?
Well, I believe it's 50 years. Now there has been some movement to now designate properties or designate places where not only has it maybe been around for 50 years or sometimes a little less, but the importance of either persons living there or a significant event happened there. So again, it's now very sort of case by case.
Right.
And that's, I think that's the right way to do it. Unfortunately, some homes in Miami Beach have been lost to developers. Beautiful homes. Star Island is one area where there's just mansions that were built by or designed by the first architect here in Florida, which is Walter DeGarmo. And, you know, some of those homes have not been protected and unfortunately have been razed.
Why is that so crucial to keeping our community together? Keeping these buildings, why is that so essential? I mean, a lot of people probably don't care. I think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of history buffs out there that are just like, no. But I think for the most part, most people aren't that emotionally invested in a building. So why should we be?
And you're right. And I think that's, again, that's where we need to, as an organization and as a community, understand why it's important. Number one is it's our cultural patrimony. And I think if we start losing, it's not just the building, it's about the era that was built. It was the historical significance of that time.
What it represents.
What it represents. And then if we don't have those, then we really start losing where we came from, you know, our, just like history books, you know, we kind of have to read them so that we can understand.
Well, it gives a different perspective for sure. And the more that I think about what you're saying, it definitely sheds a different light on your current situation. If you can look back and say, oh, well, you know, that was how it was then. And that's how people lived back then. And it definitely sheds a more broader view, and not just so singular and like, oh, it's just all me and my house.
Actually, I was reading an article in New York Times, and it's about these luxury brands. And just to make a point, and it's very timely, you know, these brands, it used to be that in the 20th century, they were so focused on, you know, the actual name of the brand or the tag or, you know, having something outside the brand so that, you know, now what this article was referring to is, you know, now in the 21st century, you know, consumers are looking more of a bigger picture. I mean, the brands are still very important, but I think we want to understand what's behind the brand. And there's, in France, and I was just reading about the LMHV, the Louis Vuitton brand, and they're creating this legacy of giving back, a philanthropy. And it's about preservation as well. So they're spending money on preserving buildings. Restoration Hardware, which is a brand that just bought a beautiful old post office in, I believe it's in Connecticut, and they've restored it, and now they have their flagship store is there in a preserved building. So anyway, I think it's, you know, it's just the timing, and it's, you know, we're about preserving, we're about recycling, we're about conserving, and it just makes it, that's where we fall into.
How do you go about promoting this understanding for historic preservation?
Well, I'm here, and I want to thank you for the time. I think it's about education. It's about connecting the pieces. It's not just about one building, and it's not just about one community. It's more about a global view. And if we're living in a community, then we can make something happen in our community, but really thinking about the impact globally. I mentioned Jackie Kennedy before, and what an impact she had in New York City. And the reason I say that is every time I go to New York City, and you know, we take Grand Central and we use it, and we use the transportation system. It's not just about the trains; it's about going to Grand Central, and looking at the beauty. And so, she was able to save that with all her, obviously, right, her connections and her efforts. But on the other hand, Penn Station didn't have that lucky patron, and so we don't enjoy that. But it's about keeping that cultural patrimony.
Historic Preservation Association of Coral Gables is hosting a fundraiser on October 18th. We talked about City Hall and the importance that it has in our community. There's a fundraiser going down October 18th with a purpose to draw attention to the need for maintenance and restoration of the remaining historic streetlights in Coral Gables. So it's not just building, it's also lights too. Can you give me a little bit of background on the White Way lights?
A wonderful segue. I mentioned Denman Fink, and he was a cousin to the founder, George Merrick, very highly regarded as an artist. And in back in 1926, these lights There were about 500 lights, ornamental lights that were commissioned to be set up in this White Way corridor. And it was a corridor, now mainly the Riviera sort of ponds area corridor. But there were initially 500. They were designed by Denman Fink. The bottom basis of these lights, and if you drive around Riviera Drive between Granada and Lejeune or Segovia, there's a really nice concentration of them. Unfortunately, they're really in need of maintenance and restoration. There's about less than 70 now. Again, they were, before they were designated historic, they were designated historic in 1981. Before that, unfortunately, we lost many of them, because they would break and then they would just not be replaced, and it just there wasn't that impetus to save them. Now there are still some out there, and that's our goal. Our goal has been for several years now. One of our former board members really create this project, thinking that she'd be able to get some traction, but now we're back on track, and the fundraiser on October 18th is to make people aware that they're out there. I think that's the first step in doing any type of project, is making people aware that these are historically designated lights or lamp posts. They were designed by a very prominent architect, cousin to George Merrick, the founder, Denman Fink. The bases are really works of art. They're faces. They're depicted on the base. And they represent four stations or seasons, or in Coral Gables, we refer to them as, there's labor and art and architecture and horticulture, I think. So there's these four faces, and, you know, the bases say Coral Gables, Riviera. I mean, they're really works of art in themselves. And so on October 18th, we will have some pictures and images there at the event. And it's not a hard sell. It's just very soft, just sell to, again, make people aware. And if people are interested in this project, then we'll welcome them.
Do you find that people are normally interested, or is it more of a kind of hit or miss thing?
Again, I think it's whatever. You know, it's hard to say.
Honestly, honesty is the best policy.
If you're, I know. You know, sometimes people just move here, and they don't have the institutional history of the city.
That's true.
And so they don't really appreciate some of these landmarks, because they just don't know. I don't think it's anything other than not knowing or not being aware of them. But then there's people that grew up in the Gables, in Coral Gables, and understand, they have memories of lights all over Coral Gables, and those all are very emotional, and so even if it's, I think it's not the question isn't, you know, should they be saved, because they are designated historic, they're landmarks of the city, so they're not going to go anywhere per se, but if they do, you know, they do need maintenance and they do need restoration. So those are fundings that the city is willing to cover. And our organization, as a not-for-profit, all we can do is raise some money and give donors a tax benefit in terms of supporting the project. And then what our organization will do is present the city with, just a little percentage of hopefully the funding, so that, you know, we will make an impact. But I think more is just making the city kind of light a little fire under their feet,
right,
and just make sure that's a budgeted item.
Now, I gotta ask again. I know I'm kind of like beating a dead horse here, but okay, you're at the Junior League of Women, and out of all the nonprofits you could have picked, you pick a very obscure, not so known, I would think, as the profession. What you're going to do for the rest of your life. And I gotta think that there had to be something going through your mind, like, I love history, this is it for me. What was there, like, an epiphany or something? I mean, I'm just trying to...
You're cute. There really wasn't an epiphany, but it was something that it was at the right moment in my time as a professional fundraiser to really, it all started because I wanted to help the organization. I wasn't even, when I first started helping, and I worked with Ellen Uguccione, who was or is still on our board as an advisory board member, as an honorary board member. She was a founding board member back in 1991, and she, Ellen, needed, and she was actually head of preservation here in Coral Gables for more than 10 years. But, you know, I wanted to help. I offered Ellen my help as far as, you know, really getting the organization on track again, meaning they were not a 501c3 when I became involved. They were, so we couldn't fundraise. The organization couldn't fundraise and couldn't offer donors a tax incentive, so we had to do that. So I helped with that, and so I helped, you know, with the bylaws, and I helped get the organization really now, you know, where it is now,
right,
which is we're holding our events, we're holding fundraisers, we've we've become more active in the community. So that's really the impetus of you know, what sort of led me to be involved. It could have been any organization. I was just,
right.
I just knew Ellen, and I was at a function and one of the events, and she just approached me. She knew my background. And but it's giving me, with that said, I then continued. I then became a board member. I now am president of the organization, and it gives me joy. And so maybe there's something I love history. I love what history, what history means, as far as, you know, we're in context of, you know, we're just not here and you know, there's nothing else going on. I mean, there is a historical significance, and you know, just like classical music, just like it gives me joy.
Oh yes, that's right. You had classical music,
yes,
playing in your car.
Yes.
Well, I think with more years in your life and the older you get, I think that you appreciate history and the past more, because the younger you are, it's like, well, I mean, I don't want to think about, like, the future or the past. Like, I just want to live in the present. I want to, you know, be in the moment. But historic preservation kind of flips that around and be like, no, the moment, it was the past, and we need to preserve that. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to continue forward if we never really have what we first did. If there's never a succession of events, if you just have what you're doing now, you can't ever put perspective on what happened beforehand. We're going to wrap things up, and I just want to talk one last bit on volunteer work.
Sure.
Very excited. Okay,
yes.
So any more volunteer opportunities?
Absolutely. Well, one of the areas that our members, we're a membership organization, and so to become a member, it's very nominal, the membership fee, but an individual is a $30 annual membership. Household, meaning, you know, two or more people, is a $40 membership. These are annual fees. And our members, we have a call to action for our nomination for our board. And so if you're a member, HPACG members, please please check your emails, because we will be sending out a reminder of call to action. If you're interested in in submitting a resume for board positions. As far as non-members and friends of HPACG in our community, you don't have to be a member. You can go on our website. There's some information there as far as an email address. And if you have any skill or any interest in historic preservation in your community, let us know and we'll connect you to a committee.
I believe the website is historiccoralgables.org. You can definitely visit that, and there's a lot of there's a gallery and events and membership. What would you like to see happen in Coral Gables the next 50 years from now, since that was kind of like the cutoff for making something historic? What would you like to see happen with the city of Coral Gables in terms of the historic preservation and how we cultivate our history?
Well, I think I'd like to see them obviously continue with the strong preservation codes and then I think that just to educate our community, our citizens, about how important it is. A lot of people, there's misconceptions. If you buy a historic home, you know, some people, I was just at one of the board meetings, historic preservation board of the city, and you know, there's some homeowners that you know apply for non-historic designation, thinking that would just be a burden, you know, to selling the property or to maintaining it or restoring it. And so I think the city, if they could do just a better job as far as what, there are lots of benefits. One important benefit is a tax incentive. I believe there's a 10-year tax incentive that it's called a 10-year freeze on the value of improvements made to local historic properties. So that, you know, that may be something that, you know, people, many, many citizens don't know.
Okay, last question. Do you think Coral Gables, and you have to answer this honestly.
Okay.
Do you think Coral Gables takes care of their historic landmarks?
Honestly, I do. I think what's happened with the White Way lights is it really isn't all the city's doing. It's more, they are electrical lights. There's other entities that are involved. And I think they are very sincere in maintaining their landmarks, and they do a good job. We just now, we're focusing on this one particular this one particular landmark, but overall, I think we should all be very grateful that we're living in such a beautiful city and that does take care of its own.
But there's always room for improvement.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank
I agree.
Thank you, Dr. Corellia. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Shelley.
I'm Shelley Lynn. This is Not For Profit on WVUM 90.5. If you have any suggestions or ideas for any conversations you'd like to hear on the show, on the talk show, feel free to email me, notforprofit@wvum.org, and I will definitely be sure to look into it and host someone who can enlighten you. Thank you for listening.